Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 14th. We're halfway through October, hard to believe. It's October 14th. I'm happy to be here today and happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for October 2025 Meeting of the Minds. It is the second Tuesday of October. And I always look forward to this show because it's just fun to have a guest. And it's especially fun to have a guest that I consider a good friend and that I love to talk to. So we always have a good conversation and you are invited to be a part of it. The show is playing live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you would like to join the chat, you can go to 12radio.com and click chat and then click the YouTube link posted under my banner or subscribe to my channel on YouTube. Feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat on YouTube. We may or may not have time for readings today, but we'll see how the conversation goes. We can answer questions in the chat room after the show. That's what I'm trying to say. I can talk sometimes. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately, and we'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. If you would like to be notified of our specials on 12listen.com. And what that is, we have special pricing, reduced rates on calls and chats several times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, always on Sunday. But if you would like to be notified, just go to 12radio.com and sign up for 12 promotions. So I'm just blasting through my usual announcements here. But thank you again for being here today, and thank you for listening however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. 12radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support, so please take advantage. Take advantage. Download a show. Listen to somebody you've never listened to before. It really is a gold mine. It really, truly is. Lots of different inspirations, lots of different passions, lots of different voices. So use it. Please take advantage. And you can find my shows from the past few months on YouTube. So I just want to say thanks to Serena. And as I said, I just speed talked through that whole thing because I'm excited to talk to CA, but I'm excited to share some really fun things with you to begin our conversation. But if you don't know who CA Brooks is, she is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of The Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So she is very, very busy, a lot on her plate, aside from what I just said. So I always, always appreciate that she comes and visits once a month and we can have our great conversation. And I call it the meeting of the minds because it's where we can just bring everything to the table. My thing, my passion, my love, and what I share is spirituality and mysticism. I mean, that's what lights me up. And I'll throw other things in there, you know, energy, how energy works and feng shui and things like that. But this show, as I just listed many of the things that CA are part of her passion, Tarot, A Course in Miracles, etc., everything is welcome. Everything is welcome in these shows. And that's what's really fun. I mean, we just let the spirit, the energy take us along in our conversation. I start them and then we go from there. everything is welcome though. So, and we could probably talk for the rest of the day. So it's always a fun show and a fun conversation, and I can feel the energy already. And what's cool about the energy of empowerment is the energy will be here no matter when you listen to it. It's just part of it. So what I want to share are a few experiences of supply. And supply is what you need when you need it, no matter what that is. Supply is spiritual. It's part of you. It's part of the, you know, the kingdom of heaven that is within you, the infinite mind, the infinite God mind. And so it's, you know, people think of supply as being as money as supply. Money is a demonstration of supply. Supply is spiritual. Supply is consciousness. It lives within our infinite consciousness. So whatever it is that you need, like supply is, you know, for me, speaking for me, is an idea for my show. And then where to go from there? You know, they come together like puzzle pieces, and I'm just led from one thing to another. Look here, look there, or, you know, something comes into my head. That's supply. Because at the end of it, I have a show to share with you. But today, I've just had some really fun experiences that were all just absolute great examples of supply. And that's what I want to talk about. So I want to share three of them with you. And the first one happened last week. And you know how you're just doing something. You're doing something mindless, you know, like laundry or something like that. And you start thinking of stuff, something comes into your head. And I don't think you have to be doing anything mindless. I think this happens all the time, or at least it does to me. Something comes up. And I think in this instance, it was my nephew and his wife had a birthday party for their two little kids about 3 weeks ago. And my brother was sitting next to my nephew's wife's grandfather, and they were talking about books that they were listening to. And her grandfather said he was listening to a book on Grant, Ulysses S. Grant and the Civil War, and he was really enjoying it. My brother is a big, Great Lessons? Something like that. He's always got a CD, loves history. And he was listening to some other, I don't know that it was the Civil War, but it was something like that. And so they were having a great conversation. I think that's what came into my head. Well, then I start thinking about, you know, one thing leads to another when you're thinking like that. And I was thinking about a really good show that Shannon and I had watched several years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, called Turn. Turn, Washington's Spies. And that was about the Revolutionary War and the people, just the ordinary people here that were spies for Washington. And excellent show, really excellent show. And I think you can probably get it on Netflix if you've not seen it and you're interested. It was really, really good. Well, Jamie Bell starred in it, and I really like him. Jamie Bell also played Bernie Taupin in Rocket Man, the Elton John biography movie. And he's just a wonderful actor. I really like him. But the first movie I saw him in was a true story about it. A young boy in Scotland in the 1980s, poor family, and against all odds became a ballet dancer, like a world-famous ballet dancer. And I was thinking about that, and I knew that his first name was Billy because I could hear his father in the movie calling him Bully because he was Scottish. But I could not, for the life of me, remember his last name, which happens to be the name of the movie. So a day or two later, I'm watching a British mystery, which I love, called Karen Pyrie. And it's an excellent story, too. Well, she's a detective. She's the head detective. And she's working on a cold case from 1984. So there's this younger guy that is on part of her team, a lesser detective. She's the chief detective. And she's talking to him about how did it go? She was explaining to him that back in 1984, there was a miner strike, and it was a really, really tough time, a horrible time, really violent time. And he says, well, I know all about that. I saw Billy Elliot. That's the name of the movie. I just cracked up. I mean, seriously, I just cracked up while I was watching that. And, you know, it just lets me know that you know, supply is what you need when you need it. It's there. But also that God has a sense of humor, because if he didn't, we wouldn't, you know? So that was the first one. I saw Billy Elliot. Now, really think about that. That is just the craziest thing. So then the next one was, you know, in the past few months, and I've talked about it on my show when I was transplanting my giant rubber plant that was taller than me. I've been learning about houseplants and how to take care of them, really how to take care of them. I love plants. I've had plants all my life. But like really knowing how to take care of them other than on Sunday you water. That's what I did. I watered every Sunday. But I've been listening to this guy on YouTube called Richard. His name is Richard. And his channel is called Sheffield Made Plants. So he's from Sheffield, England. And he is very funny. Very funny. But really a guy that just has a passion for plants. He has 200 house plants in his house. And he just has all kinds of YouTube videos, and then I signed up for his newsletter, and it's just really interesting stuff. So, you know, watching him, learning from him, changed the way that I water my plants. They don't all get water on Sunday, but you know, he says you water your plants and you give them water. You water until the water flows out of the bottom. Make sure that they, you know, that they have holes, that they have drainage holes in their pots, but you water until the water flows out of those drainage holes. And then you do not water them again until they are dry and the roots are dry. And so there's this thing called a water meter that you can get on Amazon for like $12. And it doesn't have batteries or anything. You just put it in and it has a sensor at the bottom, and it will tell you if it goes from wet to dry and where the soil is for your plant. So I started using that, and it works. I mean, it just works. My plants look great. But the only thing that I haven't been doing is I haven't been fertilizing them, because I used to do that a long time ago, and then I just kind of fell out of that habit. And so I've been, you know, I listen to his videos and stuff, and he talks about fertilizer. But I've heard two different things. You know, we're moving into a different season. The sun is not as bright. My plants are all in a south window. My whole south wall in my dining room is a window, 6x4 panels of window. And so all of my plants are in there, and they all just thrive. But in the winter, and this is something I never thought about, you know, you still water them that way, but they're going to drink less because they're not soaking in the sunlight. They're not in big growing mode like they are in the spring and summer. So I'd heard both ways on fertilizing. You know, if you're going into winter, you don't fertilize them because they're not in that growing stage. But yesterday morning, I woke up, and that's what the first thing that was on my mind. It's like, well, I don't, you know, and I have heard both ways, you know, that you don't need to and then that you should. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have to go back in one of his classes and find out what exactly you're supposed to do. Well, I get a newsletter from him every Monday. I subscribe to his newsletter. And in his newsletter, he answers one question from a subscriber, just one. Here was the question. Hi. You talk about adding one cap of fertilizer to a 5-liter watering can and using it for every water. Do you still do this through the winter or only in the summer? And he answers, I do, yes. Pretty much all my indoor plants continue to grow in the winter, so they need their nutrients still at that time. If yours are still growing leaves, then you should too. I mean, literally, I woke up with that question in my head. And while I was eating breakfast, I'm looking through my email, and now there's the answer. And, you know, what can I say? Ask and you shall receive. It was just another, brought a smile to my face, you know, and I just said, thanks, God. I just really appreciate that. But here's the last one that I want to share. Oh, and I realize that I think I'm still speed talking because I want to talk to CA and not take up all our time. But here's, you know, this is another example of supply. And in 2006, I was working on a student painting crew in a multi-million dollar home in a prestigious neighborhood just outside of Denver. And the time that I was there for about a year. I think I did that for about a year. Yeah. And it was just one of the best experiences in my life. We spent a lot of time in that house. I think I started on the crew in January, and we finally got it wrapped up, I think, at the end of August. So there was just so much work. And it was like an unbelievable opportunity because I learned so much. And, you know, it was the opportunity to learn and actually do really cool things with paint. And we did everything. We did everything from plaster to faux wood grain. We painted. There were these beams, or not beams, but posts in this giant, I guess it was the living room, but these posts, because this place was huge, that came down that we painted and then we wood grained. And they were wood to begin with, but we painted them and wood grained them. And we wood grained panels in the owner's office. And we did trompe-l'oeil, we did gilding, oil glazing, walls and woodworks. We oil painted all the doors and we glazed them to make them look antique. I mean, it was just an unbelievable opportunity. And it was so much fun because somebody had turned on music, blast it, and we all just went to work. And it was just an experience I'll never forget. And honestly, one of the very, very best times of my life. So after all the painting was done, the house was also filled with incredible furniture and fixtures and just amazing things. And a few years after we finished, the owner died. And his wife, you know, wanted to move away. She said that was his house. That was all, that's what lit him up. And she really just wanted to be out of there and go move on with her life. And she had a son that was probably a young teenager at that point. And so she sold pretty much everything in the house at very, very reduced rate. My sister-in-law said pennies on the dollar, but she sold everything. And so my sister-in-law, who actually lived just a few blocks away from her, had become friends with her after I'd worked there. And she bought several things from her, to include a really beautiful grandmother clock. Well, after she brought it home, Susan's house is, my sister-in-law's house is a Tudor, and that's pretty much how she has it all decorated. My house is Funky Town. There's no limits. It's just everything in it I love, and there are very few things in it that I got new. So everything has a personality in my house, and it's been called Eclectic, which is really a nice name for Funky Town. But anyway, after Susan brought the clock home, she decided that it didn't work in her house and asked if we wanted it. And she said to me, she said, you know, you should have it for so many reasons, which I thought was fun. I mean, that was sweet. And Shannon said yes, and we brought it home. I had no idea where we were going to put it, but that was probably 10 or 11 years ago. And the clock is absolutely beautiful, and she fits right in a nook. There's a nook that she lives in that's just hers, and but she's never kept time. She never kept time. So Janin would tape washers, you know, like plumber's washers, which are like flat metal discs, on the back of the pendulum with painter's tape, trying to get it to regulate, you know, to keep time, because she has that. That's one thing that she has. Her pendulum is not very heavy. So last year, I was setting the time, and I was pulling up the weights, and one of them got caught on the pendulum and jammed it. So I found a clock repair shop, and this sweet guy comes over, that I'll call Dave. He came over and he fixed that. And then later on, my grandkids were here, and that clock is like a baby magnet, little kid magnet. Oh my gosh, they just can't keep their hands off of it. Well, I couldn't get the pendulum to work after they were there. So he came back that second time, and he said, you know, a grandfather clock, or any clock, really should be maintained about every 10 years, meaning take it apart, clean it, oil it, you know, get it to keep it running, because they're beautiful, and they're like a piece of history, you know? I mean, they're just a beautiful thing. And I think that's why I have a lot of things in my house, none of, you know, that are old, is because they've been loved. You know, they've been loved. And yeah, they're not perfect, far from it, but somebody loved them, and they have that love in them. And to me, that's also part of supply, really. So he would tell me about the maintenance on the clock. And then earlier this year, I had him over again. He said, how many times have I been here? I said, well, this is the third time. And I said, really, I want you to look at it. And if it's time to have it maintained, taken apart, do the whole maintenance thing, I want to do that, because this clock's important, and she needs to be honored, you know, and she needs to stick around for a while. So, you know, because I don't know, I mean, we've had her more than 10 years. I didn't know you were supposed to do that. I didn't know. And I don't know if anybody who owned her before that ever did it. So it was really important. So he took all the workings to the shop. And so I had a cabinet that the hands were out. So she had a hole in the middle of her face and an empty cabinet. And that was on May 10th. And he told me, he said, we're extremely busy, and it'll be 5 or 6 months before she's going to be taken care of and have her back. And I said, fine, whatever needs to happen, happens. But walking by her, you know, seeing her without, like, kind of like without that, a face without a face and nothing in it, I just, you know, I dusted her and certainly took care of her. But it was a strange thing. And I also missed, she has a beautiful chime, and I missed that chime. But this is a family-owned business, the clock repair shop. It was owned by a man and his son. And Dave, the repairman, is the cousin of the original owner, who's since retired. But I asked him when he was here, when he brought her back, I said, how long have you been doing this? And he said, 47 years. And he just travels all over and fixes clocks and does whatever. And he's just this sweet little man. But his son, his cousin retired, but his son took over, and he's a master clockmaker. So I think it might just be him taking care of whatever clocks they bring in. And I remember on the when I signed the contract or the ticket for him to take it, somewhere on it said, and I'm paraphrasing, this will take the time it takes, so there's no need to check up on it. We'll call you when the work's done. That wasn't verbatim, but that's basically what they were saying. So, you know, I happened to be thinking about it last week, because that was 5 months. It would be 5 months on the 10th. And on Thursday last week, I get a call saying that the repair was done and that Dave would deliver and install it on Saturday if I was available. So he came, put her back together, and it's just wonderful to, she has her soul back, you know? I mean, she has her soul back. It's listening to her. Her chime is beautiful and resonant, because he said, this is a really beautiful cabinet, really sturdy, really well built, and really adds to the sound of the chime. And I remember asking him, I don't know, it wasn't this time, but one of the times that he was here, if it was, I called it a grandfather clock. And Shannon said, I think it's a grandmother clock. So I asked him which one it was. And he said, well, grandfather clocks are usually 6 feet tall or more and have straight cabinets. My clock is 6 feet tall, but has a waist and hips. And that's what designates a grandmother's clock. They're curvy rather than a straight cabinet. But she also has on the top, she's over 6 feet tall, because the top of her are carved flowers that go around her face and stand up. And she just reminds me, what she reminds me is a Victorian lady wearing a big hat with flowers on it. That's what she reminds me of. And that's kind of her vibe. And her face is Italian. And I asked him if he thought she was made in Italy. And he said, well, she could have been. But he said her workings are German. And he said the cabinet, if he had to guess, he thinks would be German too. But he wasn't sure. And the last thing he said was, this is a very unusual clock. And I said, and that's why she lives here. That's exactly why she lives here. So I guess the point of this story is that I have this beautiful clock that came to me in an interesting way that reminds me of one of the best times of my life. So to me, that's supply. Supply is love, and love is supply. And I think that's just a terrific circle. And, you know, I just love to share happy stories, because happy is a good vibe to put out into the world. And on that note, I want to welcome CA. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, it's great to be here, Kelly, and thank you for the story.
You're welcome.
You know what? I didn't know there were grandmother clocks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not even know that.
Yep.
Learn something new every day.
They're curvy. They're curvy, and they're typically not as tall. They're typically under 6 feet tall.
Hmm. I just thought they were all grandfather clocks. And, you know, when you say that, I must have seen one at some point in my life, but I actually don't remember seeing one that wasn't just a straight tall cabinet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah.
When and if I'm in Denver again, I'll have to check that out.
Oh, I'll send you a picture of her.
Oh, yeah. Send me a picture of it. That would be great.
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah. And what a wonderful story. And I was thinking, you know, there's 1,000 of those stories. And what I mean by that is just when you talk about supply. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just get all caught up in a ball of wax, so to speak, about something. And we're just not paying attention. It's always there. You know, just like you think to yourself, well, it's about time. It's been 5 months. And he calls you and said, yep.
Exactly.
We've got her ready, you know, and
like the next day.
Yeah, I kind of had a situation like that recently where there's a person who does some services for me, and I've always kind of branded him as one of the worst communicators in the world. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I text and he doesn't answer. And then I text and he answers and says, oh, yeah, okay, maybe Friday. And then you don't see him for a few days or a week. You know, that kind of thing. And
it's called a contractor.
It's like, I just need you to give me the information. I'm not demanding that you be here. I just need to know what's going on. And so once again, I was kind of thinking, okay, how many times can I go through this? You know? Mm-hmm. And because he does a service for me at my house, and you know, it's a monthly thing. So, I mean, he gets paid every single month for maintaining. It's actually my pool. He maintains the pool, or his company does. So I really don't, if anything's going on with the pool, I don't want to bring in somebody else.
Oh, no.
You know, No. And so, you know, even if he's not going to do the work himself, I want him to kind of oversee it or whatever. But anyway, just nothing was happening. And so once again, I was like feeling really frustrated because it had to do with a leak. And it's, I mean, it's a pipe above ground. I can see it, you know, going from the filter to the return in the pool. But it's like, I don't want, you know, that chlorinated water falling on the ground. It's not good for the landscape. And you don't want, period, you know. So I'm kind of starting to do my spin thing. Okay, just get on the internet and find every pool company, call them up, see, you know, what they can do, you know, who they've got for plumbers or this and that and the other thing. But there was a part of me that said, really, are you going to spin over this one more time? Because that's what I always do. You know, because like I said, that's just kind of, I mean, they come every single, his workers come every single week and maintain the pool. So no problem with that. But boy, I'll tell you what, getting him to answer my calls or anything is really tough. And I just laugh because actually, when I moved here, when I moved to Nevada, I'd never had a pool before. Other than swimming, I never knew anything about it. So I was feeling so dependent, you know, on somebody helping me. And this was how, I mean, and I don't even know why I hooked up with him in the first place, whether he was already maintaining the pool or I got his name or somebody referred him. But anyway, the point is, you know, I was very much like, are you coming? When are you coming? When am I going to see you? What are we going to do? And he was just so laid back. Mm-hmm. Well, when he finally showed up in the beginning, he even said, are you just going to be a thorn in my side? Are you just going to be a problem child? And I'm like, yes, because I need to know what's going on.
You work for me.
Well, and you know, and I am kind of panicking because one thing I do know is how quickly a pool can go bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if the balance isn't right or the water isn't, you know, it's, I mean, and that's it. Sometimes there's too much water and then other times there's too little water. And there again, I'm just, excuse the pun, in over my head. Because I don't know how to maintain a pool. So I was a little, but you know, when he's just like, are you going to be a problem child? Are you just going to be a thorn in my side? I said, damn right, I am. And so somehow over 4 years, we've just maintained this relationship. But anyway, so I'm just like, oh, okay. And you know, it was kind of like, just give me the name of somebody I can call to look at this for me, you know? But anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I also said, this is just how he is, and it's probably not worth, you know, you're over exaggerating this. I mean, we're talking about 16 ounces of water a day, you know, we're not talking about the yard is flooded, right?
Right.
But all I can imagine is, oh my God, it's a leak, and is it going to get worse, and what's happening, you know, because of course I know nothing about it. Well, anyway,
yeah.
So he finally shows up. And lo and behold, see, I thought he was just going to show up, look at it and say, okay, this is who you need to call. But instead, he just takes out his tools and, you know, in about 30 minutes, fixes it. He just takes it apart and goes, oh, see, the washer is just worn out. We just need to replace the washer. And it was a big, huge gasket, you know, a big connection. But he just took it apart and put it back together and it's fine. But it was, I thought about that when you were talking about supply. Because, see, I'm all ready to go to the, you know, oh, my God, my yard's going to get flooded. There's going to be pool water all over the yard. And, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And it's like, why do you do that? Why don't you just sit back and trust the process? He's never let you down before. He's not going to let you down this time. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you realize how many of the, now I know for, depending on what it is you're talking about, but how often does the supply just show up when you need it? And sometimes before you even know you need it.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever like found something or seen something and you go, that's interesting. And then within a day or two, exactly what to do with it.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh my God, that's the screw that goes in there, you know, or I needed that, you know, I don't even know, but I needed that. So, you know, so, and it also reminds me, I was listening to something this morning from A Course in Miracles. And as much as I spend a lot of time thinking about or reading or, you know, listening to podcasts on A Course in Miracles. It can get very, very, very heady, very rational. But literally this morning, the message was, you don't need to analyze anything. Not one single thing. Because this isn't about analysis. You can spend all your time figuring out, why did I do that? What lesson am I drawing to myself? What is the meaning of this lesson? Why did I do that? But he goes, it's not important. That's never the important thing. It's just dealing with it. And in this moment, do you want, I mean, it goes right back to, you know, what some people would say, do you want to choose fear or love, period? It doesn't matter how the situation happened. Doesn't matter how it came about, who was involved or anything else. Wherever you are in this moment, are you going to choose, you know, the mind that says everything's okay and the mind of love, the mind that says we're all one, we're all in this together? Or are you going to choose the mind that says, be fearful, be very, very scared, they're out to get you? And, you know, somehow that was so comforting to me, because I do find, I love kind of the headiness of A Course in Miracles. I truly do. But on the other hand, he's gone, doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. You know, I'll answer your questions. I'll tell you what I think this means. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this moment. And which are you going to choose? You can analyze everything in your life to death because you're trying to control it. But why don't you just take control the moment you're in by choosing, intentionally choosing, how you're going to view something? And I felt my body just relax. Like, oh my God, yes. You know, and I realized that is what I was doing with the pool. I was trying to control every single thing, or we do it with everything in our lives, but just that's it. You don't even have to understand A Course in Miracles. You don't have to know how it got here, or any spirituality, or any truth. You don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make rational sense or anything else. If you want to do that because it's a fun intellectual game, then do it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. This moment is what matters. And which mind are you choosing? Which way are you going to go? Love or fear?
Right, period. Right.
And my God. Yeah, I just felt, and I go, okay, that's a good way to start my day.
Oh, brilliant way to start your day. Well, it reminds me of Michael Tamura in his book, You Are the Answer. Michael Tamura was a professor at Berkeley Psychic Institute. And wrote this wonderful book called You Are the Answer, which is basically, you know, what I do. You know, I went to a Berkeley Psychic Institute affiliate, so to speak. That was ICI was. And that's the whole method and curriculum was BPI. So anyway, he talks about unproductive questions.
Yes.
And it's the same thing you're talking about.
Yes.
He said, so something's going on. And you say, well, why is this happening? He said, that's an unproductive question. He says, you can find out why it's happening and it's still going to be happening. So it's an unproductive question. And it's like I talk to people all the time, and I talk to myself all the time too, about, you know, well, why, you know, I thought I was done with this a long time ago. Why is this coming around again? What am I doing wrong? Unproductive questions. And so I always tell them, and I always remind myself, you know, if you want to know why, you're going to go down a rabbit hole searching for that. And because you are so focused on why and figuring out what you did wrong, that's just going to expand and expand and expand in your experience. It's not going to solve a thing. You know, what you focus on expands. Attention is love. No matter what you're loving, whether it's something you want or don't want, you're growing it. So I just love that. You know, that's an unproductive question. What difference does it make if you find out why? You're still here. Here's where you are. Here's what you have to deal with. It's perfect. It's just beautiful. And it goes back to acceptance. You know, accepting the circumstance, accepting how you feel about it in the moment. Just accepting that.
Without judgment. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm mad. And okay, I am. Okay. Yeah. Now I can get past it and see what shows up that's going to solve this. Because then things do show up because there's space for them to show up.
I was just thinking, I don't remember what it used to be. It was sort of a cartoon, but it was showing all these different spiritual belief systems and religions. And, you know, the Buddha says blah, blah, blah. The Catholic says blah, blah, blah. And it was just all their interpretations of it. So it was like, oh, this is a sin versus somebody go, what's a sin? You know, and that kind of thing. Well, that's kind of how this podcast was. You know, he was sort of saying, okay, one person, you know, he says, the people in this discipline, they're going to say, why did I attract this to me? And the other person is going to go, how did this happen? My mother must be at fault, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And then he goes, but the real Course in Miracles student just says, huh, you know, okay, this is what's going on. I think I can see this in a positive direction, or I'm just going to deal with it. Just like you said, I'm just going to accept it and deal with it. But the way he phrased it, it was almost like that old cartoon. Mm-hmm. And you recognize yourself, because I'm like, yeah, how did I attract this? How did I bring this into my life? Why did I bring this into my life? And I thought I had dealt with this. Now, that being said, I do think, like I said, those kind of games are fun. They can be fun. But once again, if we back off from it a little bit and go, okay, that was a fun game. It just didn't get me anywhere. So it's just because Monopoly isn't real estate doesn't mean you don't play it. Is I guess what I'm saying. We play the games. But if we could just back up a little bit and go, yeah, that was a fun little mental exercise. Or that was an interesting rabbit hole that I just went down. But ultimately, I don't have to go down the rabbit hole. I just don't. Mm-hmm. You know?
No.
But it's fun. I mean, that's it. It's entertaining. It's fun. Until we realize it's really not.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's really not. And I remember years ago, I read a book that said, if you understand something that has happened in your past, or, you know, some kind of a trauma, or specifically in a past life, then it stops affecting you. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that is a bunch of bull, you know, but they were just convinced. Yes. As long as you know what it is and you understand, it just stops affecting you. And I just realized, you know, whether it's a past life or it's something from childhood, it's not just knowing that it happened or understanding it that makes it stop. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful. It's helpful. Like if you understand where it came from, but it's not a magic potion, because in this moment, if it comes up for you, then it comes up for you and you deal with it. You don't go, oh, that was a past life. I don't have to think about this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just personal opinion.
I agree. Yeah. It's going to show up and you feel the, and what comes up with it, and just like going down the rabbit hole is, you know, how are you feeling in your body when you're doing that? You know,
I mean,
do you feel like you're, you know, somebody's got a chokehold on you, or are you just interested? You know, there's two different ways. Like you said, there's two different ways. It can be fun to explore. Or if it just is increasing and increasing your fear and running away with you, like worry does, just runs away with you, then it's time to stop, because you're not doing yourself any favors. And you're in a spin. You know, when you're in an emotional spin, you are excluding any answers from coming in. You're excluding solutions because you're just caught up in this thing. So your head's not available. You're not available for solutions. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of an interesting thing to think about. But too, when you get out of that rabbit hole, you know, sometimes I can just be amused at myself for falling to that one again.
Yes. Well, and like I said, that's not to say that we don't rely. I mean, like I said, there's part of me that says, just don't let the past dictate the future. But on the other hand, if you see an apple and you go, oh, I love that kind of apple, there's no reason to go, oh, I don't know anything about that apple. There is no past.
Oh, that's two different things. Yeah, that's
I know. Yeah. So there again, you know, sometimes something happens, just like me, I'm going, really? I recognize this situation. Are you going to go into this spin again? I mean, really? So I did recognize it. And I just go, no, I really don't want to go in this spin again. You know, so just back off a little bit. Just let this be his timing, not yours. Mm-hmm. You know, until you have no choice. But so it's useful to look at our experience. But on the other hand, in every moment, we can just go, yep, this didn't work out before. Let's try a new way.
Yeah.
You know, let's not go down that rabbit hole again.
Yeah.
Or let's go through it and go, look at me. I'm swimming in the rabbit hole.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah. Look how delightful this is.
I didn't know rabbit holes were this deep.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, if we could just kind of laugh at ourselves. But, you know, I mean, there again, just taking everything so seriously. And it, once again, I don't want to say that things aren't serious, but we make them oftentimes so much more serious than they need to be.
Yeah.
You know, just like me going, oh, my God. But the yard's getting, you know, blah, 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 blah. Why do I go there? I ought to write, you know, I ought to write fiction. Mm-hmm. Is what I ought to do with that kind of imagination.
Mm-hmm. Right? That might be fun. Might be a fun outlet.
Yes. Yes.
When you have it in all your spare time.
Yes. Well, that's it. I've always thought I just can't write fiction. You know, I think mm-hmm. I'm very good at teaching, or I always consider myself a clearinghouse. Like I love to read, or I love to gather information and then turn it all around and put it in, you know, over here, or categorize it and then kind of spit it back out. I think I'm very good at explaining things, but mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not good at making things up, which is why I wouldn't write fiction. But then again, maybe I am good at making things up. I certainly do it for me in my own life, making things up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that you were talking about your pool, because I had not exactly the same, but the same, like, what am I going to do? I need to cool my jets, you know, and mm-hmm. just let this ride out the way it rides out.
Yeah.
And just turned it over, just kept turning it over. But I had last week, I had the company that comes and fertilizes and does deep root fertilizing in the fall. They were coming on Wednesday because we've been having some rain, praise God. It's been lovely. So they were coming on Wednesday. Well, that's the day my lawn guy comes. So I'm like, oh man, I really hope, because I can't change either one's schedule, you know, because they're just on a schedule for the day doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I hope that they come after Ryan's mowed the lawn, because they're going to put down fertilizer and do the grubs for the Japanese beetles. And of course, they were supposed to come early afternoon. I thought, oh, that should work. Well, they come at 11.
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizer guys come at 11, and they were probably gone 20 minutes, and here comes Ryan and mows it up. Aww. And I said, you know, I just, what needs to be on that grass in the lawn is there. And that's it. And I'm taking my hands off, and I'm not spending another minute thinking about this because it's stupid.
Right.
But well, I know, I'm like, oh, should I call him? What should I ask him? And I thought, I can't ask him to change their schedule for me, either one of them. So it was just funny.
Yep. Well, and even saying that, you know, and I realize we've only got a couple minutes left. I was kind of in a similar situation because I knew there was this overgrown shrub in my yard, and I really, really wanted to trim it. So I got out there and I really worked on it during an Aries moon, but I just couldn't get it all. And I kept thinking, oh, I've got to call the landscapers, got to call them. But one day they're out front working on somebody else's lawn. So I just went over and I said, well, it's not lawn, but, you know, yard. So
yeah,
I just said, hey, I need you to schedule and come to my house. And he goes, well, what are you doing this afternoon? And I go, oh, okay. And so they came and did it. And as soon as they did it, talk about rain, we had a torrential downpour. As they were finished. And I went,
perfect.
Oh my, talk about supply. It was just
perfect. That was supply.
It was supply. It was perfect timing. And I got the shrub done. I didn't have to look at it. It was all, you know, crazy town, like you said. It was mm-hmm. crazy town because I had trimmed what I could reach.
Yeah. Like little kids decorating a Christmas tree.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So in any case, this was a great talk. And I love that you opened with the fertilization, because that's what I've been kind of thinking about some of my plants. And I have an indoor plant that I'm like, it just doesn't look like it's doing very well. And I asked myself mm-hmm. this morning, should I fertilize it?
Oh, that's funny. CA.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yes. Kelly says fertilize it.
Yes. No, Sheffield made plants.
Yeah, Richard. there's supply right there. I got my answer. I need to fertilize exactly. that plant. So
exactly.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
And literally, thank you
for telling me about the fertilizer and everything else. This was a delightful hour.
It was. It was. Thank you, CA. I want to end though with something really funny that I know that you'll get a kick out of. Do you use Woot?
Woot.com. No.
Amazon's overstock.
I know Ooh. You've talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, Woot and I have a great relationship. You know, a lot of my supply, like I should till the yard out there. Then they have a till half price that I bought.
Oh.
You know, I mean, just stuff like that. It happens all the time. But they have this thing, it's called Monkey Chat. And their little mascot used mascots. There were two monkeys, two little like chimpanzee stuffed animals is uh-huh. what they look like. Well, they changed their website and now they look like cartoons. So they're not as cute as they used to be, but uh-huh. whoever writes these things, I get an email every morning, and in one of the emails at the end is their monkey chat. So this was one from last week that just cracked me up. One monkey says, "Oh man, I started a podcast." The other one says, "About what?" And he goes, "It's just me trying to open a pickle jar for 40 minutes." And the other one says, "How's it doing?" And the other guy, the first monkey says, "It's number two in fitness and spirituality."
Oh my God.
Is that hilarious?
It is hilarious.
I thought that was the funniest thing. I just kept laughing. But anyway, everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My special guest today was C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way that you listen to the world. I hope you stay tuned for Katie Weaver, and I hope you have a very, very blessed week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.